Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the 2012 Toyota Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
We are recording this just before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get to listen to it sometime after Thanksgiving. So for those of you who engage in this holiday of culinary excess, then you'll probably be stuffed a bit. You'll be kind of filled with food.
Mm-hmm.
So this podcast is for you to maybe help with your digestion, to maybe make you think, well, maybe I don't have it that bad after all. It could have been worse. Or maybe you may end up thinking I could have had a little more help eating that food than I actually had, because you probably had to do most of the chewing and swallowing and manipulating of the food in your mouth all by your lonesome.
That's right. So we're going to bring you a little topic today that's, think of it as a palate cleanser, or as you say, an aid in your next foray into culinary indulgence. We are talking specifically about a tongue-eating parasite.
Yes. Cymothoa exigua.
Which we will now refer to as the isopod.
Yes, the isopod. This is a fantastic creature. If you have not seen a picture of this, go to the blog post that we're going to put out to go along with this episode. You'll see some photos or some links to some photos, some embedded video to reacquaint yourself with this parasite that essentially, spoiler, takes the place of a fish's tongue.
It is actually one of those things that's like truth is stranger than fiction.
It is.
Because it's very hard to, I think, dream up this creature, but here it is.
Yeah, and to my knowledge, no one had dreamed this one up before. Everyone loves a good parasite in a horror movie, stuff busting out of chests, living in people's blood. I mean, you name it, they've done it. But this sounds like the only thing in fiction that I can think of is it sounds like something that they would have made up for Invader Zim. Like, it's that level of just twisted, but also, like, it's gross and dark, but also kind of silly in a way.
Oh, yes, yeah. It's very silly. Well, let's get into the meat of it, as it were, and talk. The tongue meat of it. Let's describe what this isopod crustacean is.
All right. Well, outside of its eventual home inside of a fish's face, it's a 1-inch long isopod, which is like a crustacean. All right. Its closest kin that most of us, I think, will be familiar with is a little thing called a pill bug, or we always called them roly-polies growing up. Those little segmented, because they're segmented, kind of like little armored dudes, right? Much like the roly-poly, the pill bug, that when you poke it with your finger, when you find it outside, it rolls up into a ball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kin to that and looks a lot like that, except it's pale. 1 inch long, lives in the water, shell-covered, leggy, segmented, and on its underside, it has dozens of sharp, cruel-looking claws.
Yeah, and it reminds me kind of like a cockroach, even though it's much more segmented. It's just opaque white and very leggy in appearance, as you say. It's mm-hmm. got the claws, particularly it's got two big claws sticking out. And, you know, it's got a pretty prominent face and eyes, which yeah. is very disturbing.
Yeah, because it's not only that you peer inside a fish's mouth and you see a creature, because you wouldn't necessarily register that it's a creature. You see like a white lump that looks kind of like a tongue, but it has eyes.
And it's staring at you.
And it's staring at you.
They can be found in the Gulf of California, south to north of the Gulf of Guayaquil in Ecuador. And it's also been found off the coast of California in New Jersey, as well as off the coast in the UK. So it's been kind of popping up in different places that people did not expect. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the podcast. But let's get down to the nitty gritty about how it does what it does, how it actually takes over the tongue of the fish.
Yeah, so it starts out, of course, on the outside of a fish. It's just swimming around.
And just a little louse out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. And then it comes up to a snapper, all right? It goes in through the gills and into the creature's mouth. And then it latches onto the tongue. So its first big feast, of course, is it's going to start drinking some tongue blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's nutritious. It's readily available. And there's not a lot of room, you know, in a mouth. Like, think of your own mouth. Like, just, it's kind of a horrifying thought, but... You know, you just feel your tongue sitting there in your skull just all the time.
It. You
know?
Okay.
Like, don't move it. Just let it sit there. And it's kind of gross, you know, because it's just this lump that lives in your mouth. So the isopod is thinking, well, it's not really thinking, but if I can anthropomorphize it a little bit, it's like it says, hey, this place is great. I just need to move this guy out, the tongue. If I can get this guy out of here, because the tongue's got a pretty good deal. It's just sitting here in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Food's passing by. If I get rid of the tongue, I can totally steal that job. I can do it just as well as this lump of tongue can do, and then I'll have access to food.
And so it cozies up to the tongue artery. Mm-hmm. It begins to drain it until the tongue starts to wither away in atrophy. And that's when the isopod decides that it's going to hang out and act as the tongue for the fish. And what I think is fascinating about this is that it does kind of start out as sort of like tiny sea lice.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, it does attach itself to the gills, and it begins to develop. And then the female is the one that makes it its way to the tongue mm-hmm. and really takes up residence. And by that time, it is full grown. It is this creature living in the mouth of the fish. And we've talked about symbiotic relationships in nature before, but this is one of those situations where you kind of have to wonder, you know, is this mutualism or is it truly parasitism?
Yeah.
Because the fish can still live.
And we've talked before, I mean, even in situations where we think something's a straight-up parasite situation or a straight-up mutualism situation, it's often not that cut and dry. There's a whole lot of gray area.
Mm-hmm.
And even with something like this, which on the surface sounds pretty parasitic, like if something crawled into my mouth, ate my tongue, and replaced it, I'd be a little upset and a little insulted. But
you would probably say to yourself, an isopod tongue is better than no tongue at all, right?
Well, maybe. Certainly, we'll get into this more, but I mean, certainly people can get used to a lot of weirdness with their bodies over time. Maybe this is one of those things. But, I mean, for starters, a 2003 study found that fish with the parasites in their mouth, they did have lower blood counts than the mm-hmm. ones that still had tongues intact. So it's clear that they are drinking some blood in there. They are actively engaging in some blood drinking. But then the other thing is that, yes, they are eating food that comes through the mouth as well.
Yeah, and they did even say that when the isopod is in there, that it will act as the tongue and actually kind of trap the prey mm-hmm. as a tongue would against the teeth and help out the fish in that instance.
It's totally making me rethink all the things my tongue does. You don't think of your tongue as a creature, but it kind of is. It's like the guardian that lives in your mouth and chases after bits of Twizzler.
Twizzler?
Yeah.
Again, huh? You're still on the Twizzler kick?
Well, it's probably the tongue's greatest enemy, you know? There's a lot of war between that, because the Twizzler latches onto the tooth, and then the tongue goes in and battles it for like an hour. That and those little gummy things. The really hard ones, the dots.
I'm not familiar with them.
Oh, well, they're pretty rough.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, a daily podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Every weekday, we bring you conversations with the culture makers who inspire us.
Like our recent episode with Hollywood royalty Regina and Raina King. We talked about the creative power of women's relationships.
I feel like, thank God for women, like, especially when it comes to Black women, the way we lean on our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, our friends. We're just each other's pulse. I mean, it's molecular, you know?
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But We Loved is a new podcast about queer history coming May 15th. I'm Jordan Gonsalves, your host. Growing up, I thought being gay was the worst thing I could ever be. The gay history I learned was tragic.
Jerry had died of AIDS, and it's like, what is happening?
It was survival. That's why it's called survival sex.
But as I interviewed queer elders, I realized there was another history that I had never been taught, a history of courage and perseverance.
I wanted to take control of my story and not be ashamed of it.
And it was a history full of love.
The joy we found in saying husband again and again and again was incredible.
And while learning this new queer history from my elders, I realized they had so much wisdom to pass down.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
From iHeart Podcasts, I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and this is But We Loved. Listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Well, okay, so if an isopod was actually replacing the human tongue, what sort of relationship do you think it would have with a toothbrush?
I guess it depends how much tongue brushing you do. You're supposed to do a certain amount of tongue brushing.
Right.
I don't think it would take kindly to that.
I don't think it would either.
No.
I think it would be an adversary. All right, so what I think is really fascinating about this isopod taking the place of the tongue, is that this is the first known case of a parasite that actually replaces an organ.
Yes.
Of its host. So, I mean, it's phenomenal to see this. It's spectacular looking, But the fact of the matter that it is taking over an organ in the actual host is pretty cool.
Yeah, because like we said, it gets in there, and it's not just a situation where it says, I'm where the tongue is, now I'm going to eat all the food, I'm going to run this show. It actually behaves like a tongue. It actually helps pass food back to its host. Like it's not just going to want to kill its host. It's got a pretty good deal going, but it needs to make sure some food gets through for it to continue this strange existence. And then, like you said, the parasite is replacing an organ, and you just don't see this anywhere else in the known animal world. It would be like if a parasite came up to you and said, "That's a pretty good eyeball you've got there. I can do just as well. Let me eat that eyeball and take its place." You know, it's like, it's that level of just, it's crazy. Like nature, again, that nature is stranger and more twisted than anything we come up with in our own horror on the side.
That's the truth right there, because it really is horrific looking. All right, so we had mentioned that this isopod has been popping up in unusual places, like the coast of the UK. And scientists think that the reason for this is connected to overfishing.
Yeah, like it's worth noting that we've known about this for a while. Like I blogged about it a few years back, and people have known of this creature for even longer.
Yeah, I think 1983 is probably around the first time someone was like, what is in that fish's mouth?
Yes. So it's there's nothing new about it, but it is rare to find a live example of it, and we've certainly found more of them in recent years, which leads credence to this idea that we're actually seeing more instances of this parasite. There's more of it out there. And one possibility here is that it all comes down to overfishing. Carl Zimmerman did a piece on this for Discover Magazine. Of course, he's the author of the book Parasite Rex, so he's all about looking at what parasites are doing and how parasites are changing and evolving. In particular, he was looking at a study that looked at one population off the coast of France where fish were living in a protected marine environment. And then they looked at another marine environment off the coast of Italy that is heavily fished. And in protected waters, the scientists found 30% of the fish had parasites in their mouth. In the fished waters, 47% did. So that's a 17% increase in the heavily fished areas.
Well, you know what's crazy about that is that nearly half of the fish in those particular waters have this creature in their mouth. So you know what happens, of course, is that every once in a while some of these show up in the grocery store. You know, you might get a mackerel.
Yeah.
You might be in Canada and get a mackerel and then realize that, you know, this creature is staring at you.
And you just expect it to jump out and do the space balls dance on the table, you know? Because it has that weird kind of cute little face, like it's smiling at you.
It does, which totally makes sense about why the recent The Bay movie came out, which is centered around this isopod.
Yeah, I meant to try and watch it, because it's available right now for, like, paid streaming on certain websites. They're doing that now where it's something will be in the theater and then it's almost instantly available elsewhere to stream. But yeah, this movie's like a found footage horror film where it's due to an ecological disaster. Suddenly there are like isopod rewired zombies running wild and people are freaking out over it.
Yeah, the idea is that these isopods mutate because they're exposed to a massive amount of steroid-rich chicken waste, which somehow makes them want to taste human flesh.
Yes.
And then take over a human. So, of course, we take this idea and we try to figure out, like, the worst possible idea of what could happen. And that would be if you, Robert Land, opened your mouth right now and the little isopod was talking to me. So, of course, this is bunk, though, right? This could never happen.
Right. This is a creature for fish and off fish. So the chances, I mean, it's just not going to happen. This is not, our bodies are not the habitat for this creature.
But if it did, I think we should give a listen to what it might sound like if it were talking to us.
Oh, yes.
Hey there, kid. How you doing? I'm Sir Matthew Exigua, your new tongue. Yeah, remember that fish sandwich you ate last night? I was in it.
Yes, and that's hilarious. That's from a little YouTube video, which we'll also include on the blog entry that accompanies this episode. But it's the idea is a dude wakes up and he has the isopod living in his mouth and it's bossing him around.
Which I think would happen, right? If they're going to human adults. But again, this is not something that could happen. And even if you were to eat a fish, a mackerel that had this parasite in it, you yourself would not become sick. There's just really no health hazards to it. It's just sort of disgusting to think about.
But, you know, we can't help but think about it because it is a stunning and grotesque example of how cruel and twisted, I mean, that's, again, that's human terms, cruel and twisted nature really is. Like, it's kind of a wake-up call where we're like, whoa, this is not kittens and puppies here. This is a parasite eating a creature's tongue and then becoming its tongue. And the fish is, if not totally fine with it, the fish at least is like, yeah, like you say, it's better than having no tongue at all.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think it's interesting how overfishing is certainly something that is helping along this creature,
yeah,
right? That more the evolution of small fish is actually occurring. And then, of course, those small fish can't really defend themselves, and so they're being taken over by this isopod.
Yeah. It's just another example of how you have any kind of unbalancing of an ecological system and of, mm-hmm, of a natural habitat, things are going to get out of whack. And when they get out of whack, that might mean monsters living inside the heads of bunches of fishes.
Right. And then eventually humans just being taken over as well.
Yeah. So there you have it. The parasite that wanted to become a tongue. If anyone out there who's seen the movie The Bay and wants to share their thoughts on the film with us, we'd certainly love to hear about that. I'm actually more interested in it now because I remember seeing some posters for it or like a trailer for it, and I was like, I'm not really looking for another found footage horror film right now, and you know, I wasn't all that interested. But then I found out that Barry Levinson is the director of the film.
Yeah. There was something on Tree Hugger about, I think it was an interview with Barry Levinson, and I think he said that he first approached this material because he was pitched for it as a documentary.
Oh.
And overfishing and, yeah, you know, what happens when you disturb the ecosystem. And so I think that's kind of funny that he took... No, he didn't just say, oh, this would make a great Hollywood movie. I think that his point was that people pay attention more to the more fantastical elements of it.
Yeah.
And perhaps people would take home that message that this was really about an environmental concern as opposed to doing a documentary that some people wouldn't watch.
Yeah, and for those of you who aren't familiar with Barry Levinson, this guy's mostly known for stuff like High Anxiety, Rain Man. He's not really a horror guy.
No.
But the reviews for it were actually pretty interesting. It seems like most reviews, and it's always hard with horror movies to go by reviews, because not all movie reviewers are really going to get the genre, and then sometimes it's easy to go into a horror movie with the wrong expectations. But the consensus seemed to be that it was maybe not as scary as one might want a horror film about tongue parasites to be, but it was very, it really sucked you in. It was very, very interesting and thought-provoking. So there you go. I would be interested to hear. I have not seen it, but I would love to hear from people who have.
Indeed.
And if you want to reach out to us about that or anything else, parasites in general, other gross parasites that you've found that you think we should do an episode on, you can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Tumblr. We are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on both of those. And if you head on over to Twitter, our Twitter handle is Blow the Mind.
And also wanted to give a quick shout-out to our sister podcast, Pop Stuff. Make sure to give them a listen. They are a newer kid on the block, but they are well worth your time. And in fact, I think that you had mentioned before that they've done an outstanding podcast on clowns.
Yes.
As well as myriad topics.
Oh, yeah. They cover clowns. They cover Twilight vampires. I mean, they have a great collection of episodes to binge on, certainly as you travel around this holiday season with your bellies full of food and potentially your skull full of parasites.
So check them out. And if you'd like to drop us a line, please do so at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Brought to you by the 2012 Toyota Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful,
Because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.